Ezekiel 3 verse 18.
When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning. Thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. His blood will I require at thine hand. I am pure from the blood of all men. I am pure from the blood of all men, Paul declared in Acts 20, verse 26. Let him know that he that converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. Let him know that he that converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. James 5 verse 19. Malachi 2 verse 6. He walked with me and did turn many away from iniquity. He walked with me and did turn many away from iniquity. They that turn many to righteousness. Daniel 12 verse 3. They that turn many to righteousness. Men that gave their lives for the salvation of perishing souls. Men that gave their lives for the salvation of perishing souls. My wife Jennifer was raised in an irrigation valley that is very famous in Africa, the Gamtus River Valley, which is the breadbasket of a great part of southern Africa, which is otherwise not very good for farming. Now, there is a book out about that Gamtus Valley, where hundreds of people were washed and swept away to their death when the river, especially in the early days before the great dam was built to try and restrain and monitor the water. Even then, many have been killed as the rivers just rise in the catchment areas with freak floods. In that book, it is told how in one flood on one occasion, over 400 people washed away to their death. My mother-in-law, Jenny's darling mommy, shared of how as a young lady, she had stood watching people hanging on the trees as the river just rose unexpectedly and more broadly, and people just climbed the trees. And she watched as the rivers just came, and she just looked at them dropping, just falling, washed away. Standing there weeping. Jenny's great grandfather, Grandpa Du Plessis, a very loved and revered farmer, and a very godly man, suddenly found in one of the great floods of 1905. That the river had so swollen that one is It's like unbelievable, uncomprehendable that this river could suddenly, as far as the eye could see, there's this water just flowing down overnight. And in this particular flood, many, 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 many hundreds were washed to their death. Houses just suddenly disappearing. He saw a family, a woman and her children, had climbed onto the roof just over a long stretch of the torrent water, screaming for help as the river was just rising. And in despair, many of the farmers and their workers, laborers, were standing there looking. What could they do to help her? What could they do to reach her? And so he screamed and screamed. They had this cone, conical sort of loud-speaking thing. There wasn't the electricity those days. And he was shouting across, "Get off that roof. Climb onto that trees. Climb off that roof." They screamed because he knew the house was about to collapse. And the woman somehow got holding on to the branches and pulled her children up onto that tree. But the water kept rising. Now it became dark. And he told his workers to make a fire, a large fire, and to keep it burning through the night. And to keep shouting across to make sure she stayed awake in the darkness that she was in with her children in that tree. That fire raged through the night as they kept calling, crying out to try and keep them awake. Let the lower lights be burning, the old hymn says. Send a gleam across the waves. Some poor, fainting, struggling seaman you may rescue, you may save. Oh, they kept the fire going in the dark and kept crying out to keep her awake. That night he lay right through the night thinking, what can I do to save them? What can I do? And he lay thinking and praying. In the morning he made a raft. Many nights I have lay awake, right through the night, working, praying. What can I do to bring people to salvation? Many nights I couldn't sleep as I sought for anything God could give me that in Revelation could save the lost, perishing souls out there. Now he made this raft with ropes and barrels with the help of others. And then he said to these men, many of them farmers, I need someone to go with me. I cannot do it myself. I need a volunteer of all you strong men, farmers. And they all made excuses, one after the other. I promised my wife and my children when I came down here to stand here with you, I would not go out to attempt to rescue them. I gave my word to my wife that I wouldn't do that. She's so fearful of me being lost to them forever. Strange. No man careth for my soul, the old hymn. No man. All excuses. I thank God I had a wife that never stopped me. That never stood in my way of many, many years of marriage now. She never stopped me. I thank God for that. She never stood in my way from rescuing the perishing. Oh, to rescue the perishing. Eventually, one man, a very weak man who was not a farmer, but not a strong man, he said, I'll go. My wife said, I can go. You need the help. So they set out high up the river because the torrent was so great they could never go straight across. And they tried to go across and hanging on to trees and trying to steer and keep the thing afloat. Took good old while, lots of strength and agony as they were rowing. Yes, they saved that family. The King of England, because Southern Africa was part of the empire, he awarded Jenny's great-grandfather with a wonderful award. The family still have it. I have copies here. For bravery, extraordinary braveness to that man and to Jenny's great-grandfather. But the King of Kings will also award, trust me, those that went out to rescue the perishing, to care for the dying. Don't doubt this now. They that turn many to righteousness, God promises in Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. They that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the firmament forever and ever. There will be something about soul winners that you will know for all eternity. They cared for others, not just grace for themselves. God will honor them. God will honor them in a unique way that others who didn't, whose wives stopped them, whose children stopped them, and who wouldn't. Now, I need to repeat Paul's words recorded in Acts 20, verse 26. I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare all the counsel of God. I am pure from the blood of all men. The battle cry of a dedicated soul winner. And I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare all the counsel of God. The battle cry of a dedicated preacher. The battle cry of a dedicated, uncompromising preacher. But they will face the full wrath of Satan, beloved. They will face the full wrath of Satan. For they are on the front line of the battle. They are on the front line of the battle between God and Satan for the souls of men. On this battlefield called earth, they shall face the full wrath of Satan through men who stoop to serve him. Through men who stoop to serve him. We are not ignorant of his devices. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11. We are not ignorant of his devices, of his methods. For just as God recruits faithful men, just as God recruits faithful men who are willing and longing to be used of God in this world, so Satan recruits men who are willing to stoop to serve him, to go out to war against those who still dare to be valiant for the truth. Here on earth. Now I believe God calls upon dedicated soul winners. I believe God calls upon dedicated soul winners and uncompromising preachers worldwide, 1,000 times more than others, to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5 verse 8. But in order for him to do that, he first walketh about this world seeking for men to recruit into special task forces, who he commissions to undermine and attack and seek to destroy those dedicated soul winners who are still faithful to God in this world, in and out of the pulpit, who still turn many to righteousness. The unjust knoweth no shame. The unjust knoweth no shame. Zephaniah 3 verse 5 and in 2 Timothy 3 verse 1, God warns us that in these last days, perilous times shall come. Verse 2, for men shall be, verse 3, truce breakers, betrayers, false accusers, that is lying slanderers, fierce, that is brutal and merciless, despisers of those that are good. They that hate the righteous, Psalm 34 verse 21. Traitors, verse 4. Heady and high-minded, that is arrogant and proud, who seek only self-glorification. But now comes the real shock. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying, that is rejecting, the power thereof. While they hold to the outward form of our religion, they are actually enemies of it. They will act as if they serve God while they actually oppose the truth. From such turn away. Verse 8, for as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist, that is, oppose the truth. The Apostle Paul wrote of being in perils among false brethren. In perils among false brethren, 2 Corinthians 11 verse 26, that is in grave danger from the enemy within. Within our evangelical churches and movements worldwide, false brethren. Identified in 1 Corinthians 13 as cruel, arrogant, easily provoked, who have a different agenda to those who are truly saved, who keep records of people's faults and failures, and rejoice at undercurrent and undermining being spread against those they despise and oppose. They are the false brethren who, like the Pharisees, felt threatened by Christ and lay wait for him, seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. Luke 11:52. Even Pilate knew that for envy they had delivered him. Matthew 22:18. Now, Satan, I believe, also recruits saved preachers who, even if momentarily, are willing to stoop to such evil carnality, qualifying them to join the ranks of his special task forces, which attack and seek to destroy all faithful warriors in God's service. And even more alarming today, even more alarming, are entire evangelical movements. Entire evangelical movements. Evangelical churches. Who have stooped to compromise and militant rejection against the standard and the uncompromising declaration of God's word in their pulpits anymore, which they now looking upon as legalism, lawish, judgmental, separationist, who now despise and undermine and cruelly seek to rid themselves of and bury those preachers who refuse to compromise with them, who remain conservative in every aspect of our faith, and valiant for the truth, that they now wish to bury in their compromise with the world and apostasy. But, as a result of this tragic undermining and open hatred of them, as a result of this tragic undermining and open hatred of their many faithful soldiers of the cross have become casualties of this war against them. In shattered weariness and confusion, they cry, "Mine enemies chased me sore like a bird without cause." Just cause, that is. Lamentations 3:52. Can a bird fall into a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him, where there is no trap set for him? Amos 3:5 asks. Psalm 38:12, they that seek after my life lay snares, that is, traps for me. Mine enemies reproach me all the day. They have sworn against me. Psalm 102, verse 16. In Africa, there is a fearful species of bird known as the Jackie Hangman across our continent. The Jackie Hangman. It cruelly and gruesomely attacks other birds and hangs them over spikes in the veld across Africa. I've watched them. Merciless. It's in their nature. Yet it is a beautiful looking bird. But so was Satan. So was Satan. And so are his ministers. Like light, angels of light, the Bible warns, not with horns. But oh, the cruel, ruthless attacking of other species who are not their species. It is sadly referred to as the feared psychopath of the bird kingdom of Africa. Beloved, today I believe that most faithful preachers and uncompromising Christians are crying out in confused weariness, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." Psalm 55, verse 6. I know of many great preachers. I know of many great preachers who have sadly become casualties in this cruel war against them. Jesus sent this message to the imprisoned John the Baptist. "Blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me," John. Luke 7, verse 23. "Who shall not stumble and be staggered at the consequences of being faithful to me." Beloved, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Luke 9, verse 62, and 1,000 times more. No preacher, having put his hand to the plow of having taken up the calling of God and the privilege of preaching, looking back to a road that would have been easier, with no persecution or unjust attacks and underminings, that all faithful preachers will face today. Jesus asked this question. Jesus asked his chosen disciples, "Will ye also go away?" John 6, verse 67. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we faint not." 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. We won't give up. Does Christ ask the preachers of this day of apostasy, "Betrayest thou me? Betrayest thou me?" Luke 22, verse 48. "By compromising your message for fear of men." "By deserting your post on the front line of the battle for fear of man." I once was somehow, no one knows how it was possible, but given the right to address a university where there were literally hundreds and hundreds of theological students from across Africa and much of the world. Many doctors and even professors of theology sitting with all these students going out into many denominations and movements after 6, 7 years, some up to 10 years for degrees. After the sermon, the reaction was unbelievable. No one knew what to do. They were so shaken because all I did was quote the Word of God. About 400 verses of the most vital things that they were denying were even divinely inspired in this book, in their liberal theology. At the end, the shock was unbelievable. The groaning, the anger. Men walking past me and just looking at me and shaking themselves. Oh. And then the head, the dean of this university, walked, a professor. He looked at me and tears were pouring down his face, and many people saw and stood watching. And he said with a loud voice, "Young man, I preached like you. But they robbed me of everything. I lost everything. I only realized today, listening to you, what I've lost and what a life I have wasted for fear of man." He walked out onto the balcony of that great auditorium and put his arms around me, weeping and looking at them all. "Shame on you all for rejecting the truth." And to my knowledge, this is the first time it's ever been preached from this lectern. "Betrayest thou me by compromising your message for fear of man, by deserting your post on the front line of the battle for fear of man." David wept as he cried, "How are the mighty fallen? How art the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle?" 2 Samuel 1:25. "How are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished?" Verse 27. I ask this same question today. I ask this same question today to the evangelical church worldwide. I also ask us to look again at your fallen preachers. Look again at your fallen preachers strewn across this world. Those that once turned many to righteousness. It has been tragically assessed that most casualties of today's wars are men with broken minds. Most casualties of today's wars worldwide are men with broken minds for the rest of their lives. We read in Ecclesiastes 7:7, "Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad." Literally, a fool. Surely oppression maketh a wise man a fool. Here is where we all have to guard ourselves, beloved. Continual, unrelenting, unjust, undermining, and attacking can eventually break down a good man, even mentally. Continual, unrelenting, unjust, undermining, and attacking can eventually break down a good man, even mentally, till he malfunctions as a Christian and even as a human. Satan wears out the saints. Satan wears out the saints, Daniel 7, verse 25. And a weary, disillusioned, crushed preacher can so take his eyes off of God and so break off the discipline of vital fellowship with God. And that is when the devil will come in for the kill and tempt him, even morally. Oh, how many once revered preachers have fallen to the ground and their ministry destroyed through moral failure. Who turned many in this world to righteousness? Beloved, this sermon is not a cry to excuse their sin. God forbid, no. This is my cry to the evangelical church worldwide to begin to pray compassionately and fervently for those of our faithful warriors on the front line of the battle worldwide who are still left standing. Now, to those preachers and soul winners who have become the casualties of this war, and I know so many, to those preachers and soul winners who have become the casualties of this war, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 29, Jesus said, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. That is, without your Heavenly Father watching. And don't doubt this, beloved. Not one of them is forgotten before God. Luke 12, verse 6. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. God can still restore you, sir. But you must get your eyes back unto Christ and his healing word. Psalm 107, verse 20. And to all preachers and faithful soul winners, to all preachers and faithful soul winners who are still standing, but who have become weary and are beginning to stagger, to stumble, whose faith is beginning to stagger. Keep your eyes on Christ, soul. Keep your eyes on Christ by keeping this sacred book open day and night for instructions, for encouragement, for survival. Preacher, the Bible must cease to be your source of doctrine. The Bible must cease to be your source of doctrine and become your source of survival. And you will eventually preach as you have never preached before, as you were never able to preach before, in such a way that will stagger the powers of hell. Stagger the hearts of your enemies who've tried to destroy you. But don't dare give up. Remain at your post, I beg you. And remember, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. Isaiah 59 verse 19. Psalm 12 verse 5. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. I will set him in safety, literally, the safety for which he yearns. Psalm 143, verse 9, deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. For I flee unto thee to hide me. Be thou my strong habitation, where unto I may continually resort. Psalm 71 verse 3. For thou art my hiding place. Thou art my hiding place. Psalm 32 verse 7. Be thou my deliverer. Be thou my guide. Hold me, my Savior, close to thy side. Help me, protect me from my every foe. Save me, oh, save me from evils below. Beloved, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Psalm 9, verse 90. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have received this ministry, we faint not. We do not lose heart, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Seeing we have received this ministry, we faint not. We do not lose heart. Leave your enemies to God, preacher. But don't leave your post. Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Colossians 4 verse 17, no matter what comes against you, no matter what comes against you, cast yourself upon God's grace and cast yourself into a total pursuit of being everything you can still be for God in and out of the pulpit. Sorrow is survived by fervently committing yourself to your life's calling. Sorrow is survived by fervently committing yourself to your life's calling. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 20, for he shall not much remember the days of his life. That is the sorrow of his life, literally. Because God answereth him, literally, because God keeps him busy. In the joy of his heart, the joy of pursuing that which you are called to be and to do. I have faced many. Attacks. I would have gone mental had it not been for an open Bible always, sometimes through the whole night. But had it not been for me saying to God, I go on. By your grace, I don't give up, and I fervently commit myself to memorizing chapters and chapters and passages and passages. And through the nights praying for revelation and God to help me to compare Scripture with Scripture in a way that will make people's lives change under the working of the Holy Spirit through His Word. And I have found that I didn't go mental. I didn't lose my mind at the cruelty of men. Who hated me for one reason. Psalm 35, verse 7. Without cause, that is just cause, have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Verse 12, they rewarded me evil for good, to the spoiling, that's the sorrow of my soul. Psalm 38, verse 20, they also that render evil for good are mine adversaries. Because I follow the thing that is good. John 10 verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Verse 33. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? Psalm 109 verse 4. For my love, that is in return for my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself to prayer. Verse 5, and they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. But beware here, Proverbs 17, verse 13, whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. God said, or God lied. Whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. Don Covell said to me a few years ago, I'd rather be attacked than be the attacker. I'd rather be attacked, Keith, than to be the attacker. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Psalm 57, verse 6. Psalm 91, verse 3, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare, that is the trap of the fowler, the hunter. He shall pluck my feet out of the net. Psalm 25, verse 15. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Now, beloved, a dove reveals no anger at injustices, no retaliation when cruelly treated. And we are called to love our enemies, not to love the evil they do that ages us, but conscious that Satan, it is Satan using them, and our response to those who oppose us and seek our hurt, our reaction to them can still win them. And this will be a staggering blow and defeat to Satan. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46, verse 10. I haven't ceased to be God, Keith, just because of these things and these people that Satan is using. You be still. He it is that shall tread down our enemies. Psalm 108, verse 13. The Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Joshua 23, verse 10. This isn't history recorded in the Old Testament. You are in terrible danger, Christian, if you think the Old Testament is a historical record of God's dealing with individuals and people. No! Don't tell me 2/3 of the Bible is history just for our interest. No way. It is as vital as the New Testament, but in the light of the New Testament. For you to know the heart of God, the warnings of God, these things were written for us as warnings and admonitions. Don't dare open anything of this book without wanting God's heart and warnings and encouragements and guidance, which is revealed in the most staggering way in the Old Testament. The Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Joshua 23, verse 10. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. They shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Tragically, some don't. We have waited for him, and he will save us. Isaiah 25, verse 9. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. Lamentations 3, verse 25. The road that I have trod has kept me close to God. Though it was oft a road I did not choose, yet on that road I found, I went to higher ground. If only I to God did say not, if I want to go, nor if I long to stay, but if thou callest me, I will not go my way, for God alone must show the road that I should go. My life is his to have, his way Not if I want to go, nor if I long to stay. But if thou callest me, I will not go my way. For God alone must show the road that I should go. My life is His to have. His way. Church of Christ, Church of Christ, worldwide, look again in compassion at your fallen preachers, crushed, wounded, many sadly destroyed, strewn across our evangelical world. My cry to the church worldwide today is to pray as never before for the dedicated, conservative, uncompromising preachers left on the front line of the battle. If you have any conscience left out there, you be careful what you do with this message. Preachers, churches, denominations, the enemies within, and those that stoop. Who be commissioned by Satan to attack and undermine the godly who are left standing in the pulpits and out, who bring many to souls to Christ. And to those who are casualties, you listen to this message and you seek God and you get up, and maybe you won't win the love and attention of the multitudes that found Christ through you. Because of your failures, when you were so staggered in your faith, the devil could tempt you morally that he could never had they not crushed you in their wickedness while they carried Bibles. And prayed. But destroyed you. You get right with God, preacher. You have that right. David did in Psalm 51, and he did worse than you. And he was restored to the equal words of God from before the fall. No man like this, who was such a man after God's own heart, after that, when he got right with God. You can do that. It matters to walk with God, sir, even if the world won't forgive you. Don't lose that. And even if you go one by one, go win souls again, you have the right to, David. And those staggering, God's watching. You keep this holy book open. And you keep casting yourself into fulfilling the call of God. And watch what God does to your enemies before they can destroy you. You will look at them in pity, as I have looked at virtually every single one. Many who had fell dead. 3 in one day, in 30 minutes, while I was on my face praying for God to stop them. And yes, I aged because I didn't want dead. Others who just fell dead as they fought in front of me. Others who landed up in such shame that they were run out of the church and the missions.
But you leave them to God. O dove of Christ.
There is a hymn that young James Hargett was playing to me in his car a few years ago when he took me to New York, to JFK, to go home. And on that CD, I heard things that I sang that somehow people took up and have spread that hymn across the world that I heard in James's car. Everywhere, people humbled by God under the anointed words of that hymn. But there was another hymn, and I asked James two nights ago what it was that so blessed me. I didn't sing it here today because I didn't have time to memorize it. It is called Hold the Fort. Now, beloved, someone will look up what number that is, because this hymn book doesn't seem to tell me. 633. If you have a hymn book, turn to 633. If you share with others, let them sing with you. Can we stand? Is there someone that plays the organ, the piano, to help us, please? Now we're going to sing this hymn in the light of this sermon. So we're going to sing it very carefully and very prayerfully and from our hearts. If you know it, sing loud, please, to help the others.